Hey guys, it's Tessie and I'm back with another video. Today we are going to have a quick little chat about metabolism. You likely, potentially, statistically, clicked on this video. You're like, oh wow, that is going to teach me how to lose weight or increase my energy or improve my digestion or something along those lines, which is great, cool. We are going to cover things like that today. And you might have also been intrigued by the, you know, dot, 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 it's not what you think. So you're going to learn something new today. I did kind of use that title of the video to catch your attention. Sometimes I'll take video titles or something that might be put out there by current culture, media, the diet industry to catch attention, and then once you see what my content is, you'll begin to learn my actual views. I don't believe actually that there is a certain perfect weight for any given body. Such this profound tunnel of everybody needs to lose weight, everybody needs to lose weight. Lose those last few inches, tone up. And while being able to be strong in our bodies, move our bodies, exercise our bodies, yes, that's all important, but this extreme focus on weight loss is totally not necessary because there are studies that show people that would be categorized as obese in our, you know, medical definition of it, that actually have longer lifespans and have healthier, you know, vital signs and blood work than skinnier counterparts. Right, so this definition of health as weight loss and good metabolism as a certain weight as well is really just a myth. Everybody wants to, you know, live a vibrant life, and we want to have energy. We want to extend our life and be able to be there for our friends and family and live out our vision in this world. That is the definition of health that I'm here to support you with. Maybe we've been through something. Maybe we've been through a life event, a recent change, and we've put on a little weight or lost a little weight, or we're in a different season of life. Our hormones have changed, our thyroid has changed, something. Maybe our body has a little weight to lose, or we have something to figure out regarding weight and metabolism that is a fix with diet, with food, with exercise. So that's possible, but I'm talking about just the everyday average person walking around and in their head thinking, oh, I need to lose weight. Oh, I need to lose weight. Stop that. Focus on your habits. Let's focus on good behaviors, things that you're going to learn today that will help optimize your metabolism so that you're going to just feel good in your body. Will weight loss, more energy, better digestion potentially be a side effect of this? Possibly. As the word metabolism that we're talking about it today, it's gonna be, you know, the intake, the breakdown, and the utilization of substances that substances put in the body. Next thing I'm gonna say is, you know, everything I'm inviting you into in this video is, it's based on research experience, experimentation, coaching, case studies, education, and at the same time, what I recommend before implementing any changes, anything new, seek out medical professional advice as well. I would definitely recommend seeing like an integrative doctor or something, but you know, get your blood work done, check your thyroid, check your hormones. If you're feeling low energy, if you're feeling digestive upset, if you're feeling like you maybe need to lose or gain weight and you can't figure out what's going on with your body, there's an element of body wisdom that I talk about that's, you know, you can try different ways of eating and see what happens and how you feel. And there's definitely gonna be an element where that you know, clinical support comes into play. A few things that are the, you know, to-dos around optimizing your metabolism. The first one I wanna talk about is meal timing. It's called biocircadian rhythm, which basically means just like our sleep-wake cycle, how we are sleepy or more awake at certain times of the day, our metabolism and energy so too follow a similar path. So we're rising in the morning, that's why we want to, you know, break our fast. So first tip, if you don't eat breakfast, try it. There's, you know, intermittent fasting. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying that might not work for you or for someone. I'm saying sure, experiment with it. But in general, our metabolism is going to be rising, starting to rise early in the morning, to where if we don't fuel it, it's going to crash later. And there's a point at which our body can go into starvation mode, start to hold on to fat. Cortisol might increase, so it's like your body is literally like, oh boy, okay, I'm not getting any fuel, so I need to actually slow my metabolism. I need to like not spend as much energy right now, so I'm not burning as many calories. I'm not able to conjure up energy for exercise, or sometimes even daily activity. I might get sleepy. This is, you know, what meal skipping. You're gonna be hungry later in the afternoon or tired, and you're gonna start craving more carbs, more sugar. So just following that biocircadian rhythm, our metabolism and energy typically peaks for most humans midday. So kind of like when the sun is highest in the sky for you. It's usually between 12 to 1:30, and that is actually a really good time to have our biggest meal of the day. It's going to help you decrease late afternoon fatigue. It's going to help you decrease overeating at dinner. It can help also with digestion and falling asleep better as well if you're not eating as much at dinner. In the middle of the night, what our metabolism and body is trying to spend energy on is those bodily functions, like actually detoxing our cells, regenerating, recovering, rebooting. So if it also has food to try and digest and metabolize, we might wake up groggy, we might wake up tired or irritable. The next thing I would incorporate is macronutrient balance. So, and again, I'm not gonna push one way of eating, one diet. I do incorporate with every single person would be discovering a good macronutrient balance, which I'm not gonna go into the depths of how to do that in this video. If you guys want, you can comment below. If you have questions about that, I can send you resources that I love. It is important, just from a scientific standpoint, that we need good sources of protein, animal or plant. Again, that's not what I'm talking about. Good source of protein, good sources of complex carbohydrates, and good sources of healthy fats that are nourishing our bodies. So built into that macronutrient balance also comes with food quality. So those are the two things that I would always kind of just check in on, no matter what diet or way of eating someone's doing. I'm gonna check in on macronutrient balance. I'm gonna check in on, are you eating a lot of, you know, processed foods or foods with additives? Are you trying to go for some organic whole food sources? So improving that food quality is also important. It can also contribute to our metabolism. Okay, next, exercise. So if you Google like optimize my metabolism, exercise is actually one of the first things that comes up, and it's absolutely important. It's absolutely one of those mechanical to-dos that will optimize your metabolism. You go, well, how much exercise? What am I supposed to do? It's so individualized as well. Start with something you know you like to do. Even if it's just walking or running or yoga or dance, or getting more oxygen in your body helps with healing, helps with metabolism, helps with digestion, helps with energy. As a general to start, you want to either be working out at a moderate intensity, about 3 to 4 times a week, or at a very high intensity, 2 to 3 times a week, with moderate at least 1 to 2 times a week. So when I'm talking about moderate to high intensity, scale to 1 to 10. A 1 energy level is like you could do it all day. And then up to 10 is like, oh my gosh, I'm exerting so much energy that if I don't stop what I'm doing right now, I might need to go to the hospital. Try CrossFit, you might get close to a 10. Moderate intensity exercise, movement of the body, is gonna be in that range of like a 6 to a 7, maybe 7.5. Higher intensity is gonna be the, you know, perceived rate of exertion, 1 to 10 thing that I gave you. So if your perceived rate of exertion for you is closer to like past that 7.5, 8, maybe 9, that's gonna be your high intensity window. The next one that I would say is supplementation. So, and it's funny because I never like, you know, write down a list of the supplements that my clients should get. If they have a certain diet that they're following that is actually pretty low in protein or low in essential fatty acids, those are two big ones that supplementation might support them, whether it's fish oil or having, you know, a protein powder that's a supplement, you know, after your workout or something. Other things that have supported just me personally are when I have a multivitamin, right? I notice a difference in my energy. Sometimes I'll have a teaspoon to a tablespoon of brain octane. It's from Bulletproof. It's a coconut extract that will detox for me, as well as boosting energy, cognitive function. So those are types of things that work for me, as far as a supplement that optimizes my metabolism. There are all sorts of things that you can experiment with. My invitation there as well would still just to be always checking the ingredients. You know, is it whole foods, natural, not a lot of additives or flavors. So it's time for the intangibles. It's time for the intangibles. A list of these to go as well, and I have a really fun quiz that's a giveaway with this video, so you guys can just go a little deeper with some of the concepts that I'm going to cover, incorporating some practices, not necessarily what you're eating or doing for exercise. Number one, eat slow. I'm kind of also pairing this with relaxation response. Back in caveman days, in fight or flight or in stress response, running from a tiger, reptilian brain kicks into our bodies to keep us safe. Happens today, still, heart rate's gonna go up. Our blood actually leaves in stress response, leaves our digestive system and goes to our limbs. Our different things happen with our hormones. Our pain receptors are actually kind of heightened. If we get hurt, we'll know right away. Those bodily functions that happened to man running from the lion, then he would go to his cave and he would be able to rest and just recover and completely reset. What happens in today's world is our reptilian brain doesn't know a difference between running from a tiger and fighting with our partner or coworker, getting upset that our kids aren't listening to us, being in traffic, or getting, you know, frustrated over a work project. Just little pings of stressors that we have in our life. Some are what I call, again, another video, but some are like self-chosen stressors, which is like how we're processing the situation. And some are just, you know, life is stressful for anyone. If we move, if we get a new job, if we get married, having a kid, they can be very good positive stressors, but there's still stuff happening in our body to where, you know, it's releasing a little more intensity and energy. And when we're not recovering from that, when we're just constantly kind of on this low level of stress, we're in a low level of digestion, of blood moving away from our digestion, a constant low level of our hormones being the opposite of what they need to be to optimize calorie burning capacity, a low level of being able to actually assimilate nutrients from things that we're eating. So if we're in that stress response every day, even if we're eating healthy, our metabolism might be messed up. Our system is in stress response, so we're not going to absorb the nutrients as we would if we rested and digested. So eating slow is a number one step for this. Sit down, enjoy every meal. This alone will affect people's metabolism, sometimes weight loss, their mood, and it allows our appetite and satiation to regulate, relax. That plays into the next one, which is just kind of increasing pleasure. Pleasure meaning doing things that you enjoy in your life. So regardless of what you're eating, regardless of what you're doing for exercise, are you incorporating things that just like, they make you feel good, whether it's going to a play or coloring or singing or dancing. Well, dancing's also exercise, two for one there. Physical touch, whether you have an intimate partnership or not, physical touch is very important to all humans. So getting hugs, go get a massage, get a, you know, manicure, pedicure, a personal anecdote here. One reason over the past few years, I've have my amazing boyfriend, and I've lost weight. So there have been other, again, it's not the weight that matters. It's not that I was trying, but it's my story and it's something that happened. I was emotionally eating more. I would crave sweets a lot more. And I know that having this connection with my boyfriend, having him that I see and hug him every day, it literally has contributed to my own body kind of leveling out, optimizing my metabolism, and even as far as like my cravings and everything. So that's just an anecdote, a personal example of how bringing pleasure and joy into my life has kind of turned into physical response in my body. The next one that I will say, this is when I was talking about the emotional weight, is emotional expression. So I have a 7-step kind of transformational process that I walk people through when we're trying to change a behavior, get a breakthrough with a food block, body image, whatever that is. Part of one of the steps, which I call restore, but that's emotional expression. So we're digging if something happened in my past, if I need to forgive someone, if I'm holding a grudge, if I'm mad at myself, if I have communication that I need to like say something to someone and it's not that I want to hurt their feelings, I need to share my view, my perspective, and I'm holding it in either because I want to please everybody or I don't want to come across as a B word. So learning to communicate and use my voice in a way that I'm allowing my expression and my experience to be heard and known is important for your metabolism. So I've seen people go through a forgiveness process and they'll actually drop some emotional weight. They're like, oh, you should always talk about people who need to lose weight. Again, even though you said that that's not always a thing, there are people who, when they get super stressed out or they're really worried about something, they don't eat. So maybe that process for them also letting go of some emotions means they're able to nourish themselves more. So that can be part of the process too. I'm not, you know, trying to ignore that population. These past few examples actually kind of play into the last one I was going to touch on today, is how a healthy relationship can impact our metabolism. Healthy relationships, they're bringing a certain amount of nourishment, positivity, empowerment, and connection to our lives, or negativity, toxification, depression, and sadness in our lives. And this is tough. Think of your relationships and weigh them out. Is this a healthy relationship, toxic relationship? And how can I be in partnership with that person to have it be more positive, more healthy, better communication? And I used to hate saying this, or is there a boundary that I need to create? Okay, so I like to wrap up this video kind of introducing the handout for this video is a quiz. Going back to when I talked about the stress and like you're at a meal and you're, if you're in a stress response, you're not going to metabolize it as well. So we went over some things that can cause that stress response, like a fight or traffic. Negative beliefs around food will also contribute to you optimizing or dipping your digestion, metabolism, weight balance. So what I mean is, picture you're eating the chocolate cake. Person A can eat the cake super fast, like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be eating this. Oh, this is gonna go straight to my hips. I'm gonna feel so gross after this. Oh gosh, oh, I'm so guilty. Oh, there's so many calories. Now that person's in a stress response because of the thoughts that are going through their head, physically contributing to you basically being right about all of that. So eating the chocolate cake in that way, you're actually gonna be hungry, meaning so you're not gonna register that you ate anything, so you're gonna be hungry after because you just felt guilty doing it. Your body is physically not going to feel as satiated or satisfied and register like, oh, I just had a treat and that was amazing. And because I enjoyed it so much, I only had like half a piece. So that's what happened with the person that's in relaxation response around the cake, where they're like, I'm enjoying this treat. This is, you know, in balance for me. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna eat it slow. I'm gonna be grateful for it. And I'm trusting that my body will digest it and actually be able to just use the energy from it. You're more likely to physically create those results in your body, right? So again, I'm not saying just eat chocolate cake every day and if you believe that it'll be healthy and you know, 100% for you, you're fine. But to just see the difference of like two people can eat that same thing, something healthy or not, and because of the thoughts and their beliefs, their bodies are going to physically respond differently to that same thing. The handout today, it's a quiz. You're going to be able to discover your food belief type quiz. So you're going to take the quiz and you're going to get a result. You're going to be one of three food belief personality types. TessieTracy.com/quiz. TessieTracy.com/quiz. Get the quiz. Check it out. I not only give you your personality type, but I give you homework stepping into your next evolution or best version of yourself as an eater and a mover based on your type. I also think there's something for everybody in every personality type and every piece of homework. So regardless of the result you get from the quiz, you're gonna be able to take away something if you even choose to just incorporate or practice or check out or experiment with all of the homework from all three types. I want to hear from you. I want to know your food belief type. So always feel free to email me. You can email me to tessie@tessietracy.com. And yeah, let me know what you guys think of this video. Feel free to share it. If you learned something today you've never heard, or you feel someone else needs to hear, or you found it inspiring, or you're just like, check out Tessie, she's weird, and I want to spread this positivity of health and healthy habits and new behaviors and becoming the best version of ourselves to the world, to everybody. So your part in being part of my community and sharing it means the world to me, and I love to hear from you. So feel free to comment below, send me an email. Because if you're watching this video, that means that you're watching my videos and you might as well learn something that you want to know. All right. So I look forward to hearing from you guys. I'll see you next time and have a beautiful rest of your day or night or whenever you're watching this. I just rewatched that intro and decided to take the glasses off because it was like, glare, no glare, glare, no glare. I've had those glasses for like 15 years. So I probably need new ones, but I just love them and they still work, right? So everything's blurry to me right now, but that's totally fine because you guys can hopefully see me.